You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Local programming for the next block of 7 hours. Miller and Condon till 1, Murph and Andy till 3, and then the drive with Heather and Sean today, as always, from 3 until 6. Our BMW of Des Moines guest list shapes up like this. We will speak with David Eicholt at the bottom of the hour. Look forward to picking Eicholt's brain. The press conference, Kirk Ferentz press conference yesterday. Trent, they put out a depth chart, which,
yes,
you know what, on the surface isn't worth the paper that it's printed on, but it's going to get a whole lot of conversation,
yes,
on X, on message boards, and on talk radio. Wish all schools in the state.
Drake? You and I? Morningside?
Well, you know what?
Grandview?
No, I'm thinking of one other in particular.
What is it? Oh, there is a team that also plays major conference football.
They do. And they
talk about them a lot.
Right, but they want to keep it to themselves. You know, don't feed the beast.
Right.
Don't get your fan base talking about your football program in the middle of March into April. Wouldn't want to do that anyways. But we do have Iowa's, and we'll talk about it. Why wouldn't we?
Yes, absolutely.
Right? Look forward to doing that. David Eicholt and other topics at the bottom of the hour. I'm sure he'll bring up Ice Cube and Caitlin Clark.
Yes!
I mean, my God. Where's the world going, right? $5 million to play 10 games. I don't know anything about the league. But we'll delve into that at some point. At 12:05, Bill Seals will be here. Bill Seals, CycloneReport.com, previewing Illinois and Iowa. Tomorrow, by the way, Nick Osten's going to join us. I thought, you know what? Still got Iowa State top of the mind. Saw Illinois in person twice within the last 2 weeks covering Wisconsin. So why not get his perspective on Illinois and Iowa State? With Nick Olson. So we'll do that at some point tomorrow as well. And then Cappy's here today, Chicago Sports, at 12:30. Centurion Stone of Iowa sponsors Cappy. He will join us at the bottom of the hour in his normal spot, talking MLB opening day, which is tomorrow. The Cubs are in at the defending world champions, Texas Rangers, to start the season. Where do the Twins open?
Down in Kansas City.
Okay.
Against
all right,
the Royals, 3:10 first pitch.
Nice.
Your AL Cy Young Award winner at 11-1. Pablo Lopez will take the bump.
You know what? He's a good player, Trent. It's not a bad pick. Did you jump on it?
I did. I found something new last night as I was starting to get into my baseball and starting to make a few of the wagers. DraftKings has this. At least this is where I saw it. I'm sure it's other places.
What did you find? I'm all ears.
I think you're going to like this one. It is bands of wins, where you get basically a group of five win totals for the course of the season. So
they group them together.
Yes, you put them together, and they have a whole bunch of them for each and every team. So this is what I did in the way that at least two of my bets that I put in last night. Let me bring it up here quick. All right. The Baltimore Orioles.
Okay.
Think they're going to be good?
Yeah, I do too.
Think the division's going to be better.
Do you?
I do.
Where are you?
Blue Jays are okay. Yankees
will be okay.
Rays are going to be right there.
The Rays will be. The Yankees are my question.
Right. But Orioles, 88-93 wins.
Oh, I see what that is.
Uh-huh. Plus 255.
But they have to fall in that.
Right. Anywhere between 88 and 93 wins, that is a victory for you.
I like this bet.
The other one I did was in the National League East, the Atlanta Braves. The Braves to win between 99 and 104 games, nearly 3-1, plus 290.
Wow.
On that one. I thought this was going to right when I saw it, I know exactly who's going to love this
wheelhouse.
Bet.
This is wheelhouse. Yeah, I love this bet.
Because you love betting futures.
Yeah, I won't take short price. I hate even money.
You don't even dabble like you used to in win totals. That was used to
because
be something.
Because you double your money and it's tied up all year.
Right.
I want 20-1.
Yes. Well, this one you're not going to get 20-1.
No, but that makes it a little bit more palatable for me and people like me.
Yes.
That's a really cool bet.
Yeah, I really like that one. I figure you would as well.
I have not seen that anywhere else before. 8:30. Note to self. I'm going to get into that one tonight. So interesting. Really cool. You know, since we're going down that path, sports with Charlie Baker, the head of the NCAA. You know, I'm really torn. What I'm referring to is Charlie Baker is going to reach out to regulators throughout the country here today. And he's going to ask regulators to join the states like Vermont and Ohio and Maryland. Those were the three that he singled out in his release. The do not, and he should put Iowa in there because we're the same way.
Yes, yeah.
The do not allow prop wagering on college athletes.
But we can wager on
other
athletes.
We just can't bet on Iowa or Iowa State college athletes.
And the states that he mentioned, there's no college props at all.
Right.
You cannot do individual player props.
That's what he's asking, that this is completely eliminated from the sports betting landscape. On one hand, I get it. I understand that these kids, unfortunately, they're all on social media. This just in, there is a bunch of a-holes on social media and would take every opportunity if they think you missed a shot or whatever, right? A tackle. They're going to let you know about it because, after all, they thought you were going to make that play and they bet accordingly. I get that. On the other hand, if you remove it, it's not going away.
Right.
It's going to the dark corners again, into the unregulated industry, where Shohei Ohtani's found himself as of late, because he's betting, or he's not, his interpreter is. By the way, what does he make a year? I've seen various reports that the interpreter salary was $85,000 a year to $500,000 a year. Have you read anything?
I would anticipate it's the latter.
You think he makes that much?
I mean, I don't see any way an interpreter that is that involved makes less than $100,000. Come on. That seems silly.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if you're just, you Google.
Maybe that's what the Angels paid him.
Well, and
Shohei bumped it up a little bit because he's essentially.
See, I don't even think that. I think an interpreter for, say, hey, with, you know, the Cubs.
Yeah.
Make well north of that. It was probably somebody that Googled, what's an interpreter make? And that was probably like the base salary. Right.
That's where that caught fire.
You work as an interpreter for, you know, a county government.
Yeah.
And that's something where you have, you know, a lot of non-native speaking people there. And that's, you know, what it is. There's no way. Yeah, that's definitely.
Well, that makes it easier because that hurts. I mean, obviously, that would, if it was $85,000, that would hurt the argument that, you know, he's getting a line of credit. $4.5 million, he's making $85K.
Yeah, I would anticipate, And he's probably one of the most well-known interpreters in the world.
But you know what? As we're coming to find out, most of it's a freaking lie.
Well, and
he didn't go to school.
Suddenly, Shohei speaks English a little bit better maybe than we anticipated or led to believe.
Apparently has the entire time.
Yeah.
So back to Charlie Baker and his quest to eliminate prop wagering on college athletes. Does he find success? Is this something that regulators will agree to in hopes to tamp down some of the other stuff that's out there?
I could see definitely this something that does come to pass, that we're working on a slippery slope here, that this becomes an issue, and instead of letting it become an issue, let's just actually stop something before it happens, before it becomes something big. Here's a problem, because you mentioned, I think, a very pertinent point of this. It's still going to continue.
Yeah, of course it is.
It's going to continue in dark places. The dark corners of the internet.
Yep.
With a bookie. These bets will still be available. They just won't be
as easy.
But it's still available.
Yeah.
It is regulated.
Yeah.
And that goes away. What we're seeing right now with Jonte Porter, which is one of the most asinine stories that I can remember in this space.
Mm-hmm. Michael Porter's brother, right?
Yes, correct.
Of the Nuggets.
Yes.
Of Missouri. Did he play? I don't think he did.
He did, yeah.
Did he play a game?
Yeah, I think
Wasn't he supposed to play Iowa State?
Sounds right.
It was Iowa State.
It was a non-conference game, wasn't it?
It was. Yeah, it was early in the year, and he didn't play anyways.
Jonte Porter is like the ninth guy on
the Raptors bench.
The Raptors that are tanking the season.
Yep.
In two different nights, the most wagered props at the major operators.
We're on this bum.
Were on his unders.
Yeah.
Not just on it.
Right.
On the unders.
Yep.
That is flagged.
Mm-hmm.
It goes to U.S. Integrity sees it first.
Mm-hmm.
They direct, and then away we go.
And on those two nights, one night he hurt his knee, the other night he's just not feeling well.
Hurt his eye. Had an eye injury.
Yeah, and he's just
cropped up again.
And then they have video of him making a three that he banked in, and the look on his face almost like disgust that, oh God, I didn't mean to do that.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the last thing I need.
This is why we want regulation.
Right.
These are the reasons that we want it. And without it?
The baseball, the scandal that hit the fan. What baseball was it? Was it NCAA baseball that some, there was a coach from Alabama.
Oh, yeah, the Alabama coach.
The Alabama coach. Yeah,
his buddy
betting in Ohio.
Yeah.
This is why, you know, when we see something out of, not we, when regulators or U.S. integrity see something out of the norm, a flag goes up and calls start to be made and contacts go back and forth. And is this something we should look at? This smells fishy. We're seeing wages that we normally wouldn't have seen. Who is this guy? So I get why Charlie Baker's doing it. I think it's a noble quest on one hand because I believe he has the student athletes' best intentions in mind when he's doing this. But on the other hand, just move it into the dark spaces where it was before.
That's where my concern certainly lies. Yeah. If you do that, it's still going to be out there, and you're not going to be able to find when there is inconsistencies at the same level that you can currently. DraftKings, they found out on that night that the biggest money winner for bettors on any NBA player prop that evening was on the under on three-pointers from Porter.
Of all people.
Of all people. Yeah. The ninth guy on the Raptors.
Right. Taking a disproportionate amount of money. I mean, I can't name one Raptor. Can you?
No. They traded them all away.
They traded them all away. Yeah. But Jonte's there.
Yes.
Not for
much longer, maybe.
No, that's very true. Anyways, good stuff. So let's get into Iowa from yesterday. I do want to save a couple of minutes here to pick your brain on Illinois and Iowa State. This game fascinates the hell out of me. It truly does. Something's got to give. A tremendous offense in Illinois, a phenomenal defense in Iowa State. How's this thing going to shake out? So the Hawkeye depth chart came out. Ferentz met the media yesterday. A takeaway or two. What did you jump on your Locked On Iowa podcast and pontificate on when it came to yesterday's Iowa presser football-wise?
I think the most pertinent thing is the way that Kirk described the new offense, because you've heard it, I've heard it, it drives me nuts because it's not true. It's just going to be the same offense. No. Watch football. Watch a game from 2005. Watch a game from 2013. And watch a game from 2019. Three different offensive coordinators and three different offensive schemes. This is not Kirk Ferentz's offense. Are there basic tenets? Are there things that
he wants? Sure, he wants to run the football.
Yes. Is there a philosophy? Yep. Absolutely. But it's not Kirk's playbook. It isn't. And what you look... The easiest thing to look at is look at the passing schemes. They were three completely different passing schemes with the three different offensive coordinators. And now you have Tim Lester that comes in here. So Kirk said this. Basically, we're just taking his playbook material and going with it. I think it's going to look different, but I think philosophically, we're in line. There it is. Philosophically, don't turn the ball over. Now, that is one thing I will never be able to understand, how they continue to try Deacon Dell. There is not a coach in the world.
Yeah.
That hates turnovers more than Kirk Ferentz.
Uh-huh.
And yet he still continued to trot out the guy that was the highest turnover rate in college football a year ago and kept putting him out there.
I can't remember a quarterback since my time here on the air as bad.
No, it's not close.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, who would be second?
Bad quarterback draft.
Ooh. Seriously, who would be second?
Steel Jans had some moments.
He had some moments.
Yes. Who was the kid that won the fumble game from Iowa State? That they got seven turnovers against Nebraska.
Runner.
He wasn't much of a quarterback.
Tiller?
Tiller. That sounds right.
Jerome Tiller?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was a bad thrower.
Yeah.
He couldn't throw the football.
Yeah.
That would be maybe one that you look at. But yeah, just overall.
I don't know who would be second in the conference. Right. Now, McNamara, he did say McNamara's going to be, he thinks by the end of June, he'll be ready to go. Well, I hope that's the case, because the last thing you want is August 31st, and here comes Deacon.
Right.
Oh, my God. A full house, because they will sell out again, I'm convinced. That schedule is very much season ticket conducive to selling. To selling all of it. They did it last year. Why wouldn't they do it this year? I believe that they will.
I think that was the biggest takeaway for me, is just understanding, yes, this is going to look different. And we talk about the RPO elements, what they're going to do. I've continued to hear that anticipate we're going to see running backs involved in the passing game more than we've ever seen under Kirk Ferentz. That's something that they're going to do. And with the depth that they have at running back.
Yeah, there's a bunch.
That makes a whole lot of sense, right?
Yeah, it does.
Hey, let's find a way to get our playmakers involved and do it in a myriad of different ways.
I'm anxious to see what that depth is like once we get to May.
Yes. It's not going to remain the same.
I don't think it is.
To think that the five guys that all played last year, it all showed glimpses at minimum a year ago, plus two incoming freshmen on top of it. To think that seven running backs are just going to stay around, you don't see that as highly likely. We know that Washington, the guy we saw a little bit, is the best pass catcher out of them. You know, is that kind of a role that they set up with him? Brevin Dahl, the incoming freshman, is that a role that would make sense? And you got your standard running back and then more of the pass catching, and it basically becomes two different type of positions if that's kind of a direction that they go, because wide receivers are bad.
Yeah,
I mean, you can be excited about Caleb Brown. He had a ton of drops.
He did, and he had one in particular in the bowl game. Didn't he have a bad one? I don't remember. Maybe it was the Big Ten championship game, but he was really good. He showed glimpses.
Yes.
But you know what? It took him a while to get going last year, as we think back, right?
Seth Anderson came out on fire.
And then he disappeared.
Didn't see him again.
Uh-huh.
Had a drop with the sun in his eyes over on the sideline like, I don't know, week 8 or 9, and barely saw the field after that.
Yep.
They don't have depth there.
Nope.
I mean, it's Jarrett Bowie.
Mm.
We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
Kid from Florida that played a little bit, was on the travel team last year. But you got running backs. You got a bunch of them. All right.
Yeah.
That's one thing I think philosophically, at least on the surface, that I like about Tim Lester, is that he's willing to adapt, that he's not just so hardcore.
Mm-hmm.
This is the way that I do it, and this is the way it has to be done. No.
Well, I don't think he would have got the job if that would have been his MO. I mean, I don't think Now, what I took away yesterday from Ferentz as well was he was not happy with his offensive line last year, nor should he have been.
No, the last 2 years.
Right, but he was willing to come out with that. So obviously, this is going to be a line that's under a microscope, and they need to be.
Yes. They need to go into the season. First of all, you can't tinker anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Kirk loves to tinker in September with that offensive line. They're not going to have Logan Jones out there as he had surgery. That was a pretty big one. I still believe that Ellsbury is the better of the two at the center position.
Well, he's going to get a lot of opportunities this spring.
And is that going to be enough eye-opener to say, Logan Jones, we've seen it. He's talent. It's not a talent thing, I don't think, with Logan Jones.
Is it an experience thing in part?
He's played 2 years now.
I know.
I mean, he's played, what, 24 games? 26 games? He's played a ton. It's just not quite there. I don't know if it is, you know, making all the right line calls, if it's that. But there was just something about Ellsbury that I thought looked sharper at the center position. Now, I'm not any kind of offensive line scout. This is very rudimentary level looking at offensive line play. But from my eyeball set, I thought there was a pretty significant gap between Ellsbury and Jones. And Jones has a lot more experience. If you do that, you put Jones at the guard position, I think you're in pretty good shape. You got Bo Stevens there. He started games. You got that swing guy out there now with DeYoung.
Richmond back to left tackle,
back
right?
To left.
He's got to have somebody.
Yes, and you got to put somebody out there, and that's what it's going to be. He did also mention that Dunker is not going to go inside. They're going to keep him out at right tackle.
Good.
So another year of experience there. They
What was your takeaway on Ferentz talking about seemingly he was willing to say Proctor never wanted to be here.
It's
apparent now that he didn't.
Right.
But boy, he sure fooled some people.
I thought it was interesting. Never said his name.
Right.
Did you catch that?
I did, yeah. He wasn't willing to go there.
The player.
Yeah.
That guy.
Yeah.
It's very Belichickian.
It's good for both parties to move on. Something like that was his statement.
I told you when they set him up and were getting him ready where he was going to live, and was he going to live in the dorm, he wanted a townhouse on his own.
Mm-hmm.
That's weird.
Absolutely, that's weird.
Going to games by yourself.
Yeah.
Maybe it was just something as simple as that. He thought it was this coming home, this homecoming, it was going to be great, and it just wasn't. And because of the ease of transferring, he said, let's pull the plug here.
Well, I remember I don't know what game it was, but once he got back here, it would have been men's basketball, women's basketball. I mean, he showed up and he was wearing not Iowa gear, and then they showed him in the second half, and apparently someone got him some Iowa gear to put on because the TV camera was going to find him again. Real quick on Iowa, then I want to get into Illinois-Iowa State, but Iowa basketball. I meant to do this yesterday, and I just got by me. Patrick McCaffrey's statement on Instagram statement that he's leaving. Not a surprise by anything.
No.
What was the need to enjoy my teammates, or I'm going to miss my teammates? Well, most of them. Why? Is that Patrick? Is that his sense of humor?
I think so.
So don't read anything into it?
I wouldn't, no.
Okay, that was my... I had two... Wow, who's he throwing under the bus? Or is this Patrick McCaffrey's sense of humor trying to get everybody talking and thinking that there's something internally? I don't know.
That's how I read it, but I also read it. It's just weird.
It was. Yeah, why the need?
Yeah, there isn't.
Uh-huh.
You're saying goodbye
on
to
your
a
way
place.
On the door. On your way out the door, why would you bring it up that there's some real a-holes in that locker room?
Right. It's just so odd.
Yeah. Thanks, Dad. You're welcome, Dad.
Yeah.
Right? That's not doing his dad any favors.
No, I think it is just kind of maybe his goofiness.
That's what I wondered.
Trying to get through, but it was odd at the very least. It didn't hit. If it was a joke.
No, it fell flat.
It fell flat.
Yeah. Yeah. But it got us talking, got us wondering. People were wondering. All right, Illinois and Iowa State. It's clash of two styles, right? Mm-hmm. Style makes fights, and we're going to have a fight. Yeah. We're going to have a terrific offense going up against maybe the best defense in all of college basketball, certainly on the very short list. Illinois got some scores. Mm-hmm. They do. And it's more than Shannon. Damask has been unbelievably such a smart kid. Grew up in a basketball house. Hawkins, they're big. He can shoot the ball. He can take it to the rim. So what's the game plan? Minimize Shannon? Or do you let the other guys get... Shannon's going to get his. Let's try and... You know, do what we can on Damask or Coleman Hawkins. And then you got Dane Danger coming off the bench, who seemingly come out of nowhere again. He's kind of turned his season around because it was not going well until the final couple of weeks of the season. He's athletic. Kind of reminds me a little bit of Hassan Ward.
Oh, yeah. Just that stud athlete.
Uh-huh. Right?
Coming in there and banging around and doing those kind of things. I think more than anything... What you have to do against Illinois, you can't let them get to the free throw line. And that's going to be tough. This is going to be, I think, a referee-dependent matchup.
Yeah.
If it's called tight, Iowa State's going to be in trouble.
Yep.
If they let them play, Iowa State's going to win the game. And you hate to go just to that level, but I think the way that this is called is going to be a huge impact on the way that this game goes for either side of this one. Illinois can get uncomfortable. You can make them uncomfortable. You can frustrate Terrence Shannon, though he is on an absolute heater right now.
Oh, boy.
We've also seen some disappearing acts from him.
Well, speaking of disappearing acts, he's going to disappear in front of the media. Did you see that? They made it very clear today he will not meet with the media.
And that's been going on
since
all
the
year.
Right. Yeah. Certainly since the tournament.
No, he hasn't talked to the media.
Hasn't he since he got back?
Yeah, since...
On the advice of his attorneys, he will not speak with the media.
Yes.
That's what you want on your basketball team.
Right. For Iowa State... I think they're going to have to score. I don't think you can grind
out. What do they have to score? Do they have to score 75, 70?
Yeah, I think that's fair. Yeah, mid-70s, I think you win the game if you get to that
What's
spot.
The total in the game?
That's a good one.
Is it under 150? I bet it is.
Let's see here. Scores, bracket, there we go. 146.5.
Well, we would have thought, right?
Yeah, right in that range. Mm-hmm. KenPom has it.
So 75, yeah.
KenPom has it 76-75. Iowa State winning by a point
on
their projections. So that's where it is. A little bit higher scoring than what the...
And the point spread is what?
1.5.
Clones, 1.5.
Iowa State favored by 1.5. It was 2.5 early in the week. So the Illinois money is coming in. Like I said, I hate to have it be as simple as the way that this game is called. But I think that's going to be incredibly impactful in this one. Illinois wants to push. Illinois can score in a myriad of different ways. And you mentioned Damask. Another thing that he has been doing a lot more lately is he's been posting up. So what are you doing defensively for Iowa State? Who are you guarding 1 through 5, if you will, at least out of the starter? So Damask, Ty Rogers, also 6'6", Shannon, 6'6", Gary Ayer, 6'8", and then Hawkins at 6'10". Well, obviously Rob Jones.
Yeah.
We got that one figured out.
Yep.
From there, though, who gets each assignment? Do you put Lipsy on Shannon?
I don't think so. I think you want to put Gilbert because he's got a couple extra inches.
So you got Gilbert on Shannon.
And Gilbert's a good defender.
He is. Lipsy then gets Damask.
Probably. Which was kind of a matchup. Because Damask is how tall? 6'5", 6'6"?
Yeah. All three of those guys are 6'6".
Mm-hmm.
So you go that direction.
Yeah, Lipsy there. I'm with you.
Then...
I just worry about the big three.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm being unfair to the rest of the lineup.
Trey Kidd gets Gary Ayer.
Yeah.
And then Momcilovic is guarding Ty Rogers.
Now there, because
probably.
I mean, somebody.
Yeah.
Momcilovic has to hit his first shot of the game. I swear to God.
Get off to that good start.
If it goes down, I think this whole fan base, and certainly the team gets a little bit of a bump, and, you know, that exhale, you know, it went in. By the way, real quick on this. Zay Robinson is a Cyclone.
Yes, he is.
You spent a lot of time talking about him over the last couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. Did they speed up the process? Did this surprise you?
Did surprise me because it's almost felt inevitable for the last month plus.
But when Shieldhouse left, that was kind of a tap the brakes moment,
was. But I do know that Matt Campbell and him have a very close relationship. They talk often. I believe that this is Campbell, probably the guy that out of this recruiting class he's talked to the most, is Zay Robinson. And I think more than anything, Zay just wanted to learn more. What the new system's going to look like, those kind of things. Just get a few more answers, but not a surprise. This is where it was trending for a long time.
His basketball highlights, my God. What a player. What an athlete.
I've told you, he's the best athlete I've seen. I've called a lot of high school
events. And he's 6 foot tall.
He's 6 foot. And he feels like he is 6 foot eight. He is just an incredible uber athlete in what he can do just in terms of sheer jumping ability.
Just because I kind of stepped on this, I want people to hear this again, what you just said. How many years have you called high school games?
About 20 now.
How many games do you think you have called?
Oh, good God.
How many 50, thousands?
50, 60 a year. Yeah, we're talking, over probably 1,000 games.
Okay. And this is the best athlete you've seen?
Yes.
Wow.
I've seen Xavier Wampa. I've seen five-star athletes. I've seen the Ames basketball team with Harrison Barnes. I have seen high-level athletes in terms of just raw athleticism, speed, leaping ability. I haven't seen anybody better.
Jeez.
Zay Robinson. Get excited for him.
Yeah, I think so.
Now get healthy, young man.
Yeah, that's true. And he will play football this fall, correct?
He will. Yes, absolutely.
Missed all of last year.
Came back in January from the shoulder injury on the basketball hardwood. And he'll play both sports and look for three in a row and try to give Gary Swenson another championship coming up this fall.
And I would be all for it because he's a good man, and I'm not sure how long he's going to be at the helm anymore, and I hope he's there for a long time. But we're all getting older. We will get David Eicholt in here. It's coming up on 11:30. Miller and Condon underway on a Wednesday. Still to come, Bill Seals, Cyclone Report. Boy, I bet you Bill Seals would love to post a depth chart at CycloneReport.com, right?
That'd get a few clicks.
Get the clicks going over there on their message board, but no. Not the case with Iowa State. They're going to keep it a secret. Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, welcome back. Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO, 25 minutes before noon.
So this is good rap music, not the garbage that young kids like David Eicholt listen to. This is the good stuff. This is Ice Cube.
This is Ice Cube.
This is Ice Cube.
And this is the dude that's offering Caitlin Clark $5 million to play 10 games.
Not too bad.
No.
Good gig if you can get it.
Absolutely. She can.
I'm available, Ice Cube.
Yeah, he's not coming after you, TC. Hello, David Eicholt, HawkeyeInsider.com, 24/7 Sports. How are you?
I'm good, man. Yeah, you know, Trent, here's the thing. I'm a versatile person, okay? I know it's Ice Cube and it was a good day, okay? I bounce between the old rap music and the new rap music.
Okay, all right. We'll give you a little bit of a break, but yeah, nothing better than going back to the 80s and the 90s for the rap music, but that aside. Well, let's start right there with Caitlin Clark and this story. Ice Cube had the tweet today. Didn't want this to come out while the tweet was still
broken.
Happening.
How did it get out?
TMZ.
Was it?
Oh, yeah, TMZ had it first. Eicholt, they beat you to the punch on this one. I mean, you're talking about a weird bingo card here on a Wednesday morning. Didn't have Ice Cube and Caitlin Clark being part of it, but here we are. Take us in a little bit about what you found out about this, and certainly, boy, it is very difficult to even describe what kind of star she is.
Well, let's get into this right quick. Like, Ice Cube came out and said he didn't want it leaked. Guys, he absolutely wanted it leaked. This is the most of the big three leagues been talked about in at least the past couple of seasons, right?
True.
So here's the other thing, too. I'll be surprised if Caitlin takes it from this standpoint. One, the schedule between the WNBA and the Big Three League would intersect. Number two, Caitlin's rookie year, I think that's just a lot of wear on the tires.
Yep.
Because you think about this, by the time the season ends, the draft is April 15th. I believe training camp for WNBA opens up April 28th.
That
after
quick?
All of this, Caitlin's only going to get about 2 weeks off before she has to go report. So I think that's also going to play a factor, and that's also why, you know, her rookie year might be a little bit of a tougher adjustment from that standpoint. But number three, Caitlin has always been very vocal about growing women's basketball. If she does this, it's not growing women's basketball. She's just a woman playing in the Big Three League and hitting, you know, 35, 40 footers for 4 points because they have the 4-pointer in that league.
That's right.
So I won't vilify her if she ends up taking it, because $5 million is $5 million. I'm not going to tell someone to not go get the money that they rightfully deserve, quite frankly. But, yeah, it's a very, very interesting story from that standpoint, for sure. Just, again, seemingly out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Smart business move by Ice Cube.
It is. I agree. I get it. You know what, I wonder if this factors into it as well. And I'm not saying that Caitlin Clark's going to try and just quietly sneak into the WNBA, because that won't happen. But it's not going to be. There's a bunch of veterans that are waiting for her, right? To when Indiana's going to come up on their schedule. They're not going to make it easy on the new phenom from the Fever. They want to do what they can to disrupt her game. And for her to come in and to be already, you know, anointed as the savior of women's basketball, she's going to get a little attention regardless. Now, this on top of it, this might even go a bridge too far for some. So I wonder if she's not doing the right thing and saying, you know what, maybe this might happen, but let's wait a couple of years till I've, you know, proven myself that I can play, and we believe she can, but maybe she wants to prove that she can before she does some of this kind of stuff away from the WNBA.
No doubt, and I'll be surprised if she ever comes out with a statement or anything like that. Obviously, I think she's all in on Iowa's tournament run, and obviously the Colorado women's team is already saying they're going to try to get in Caitlin Clark's head, which is an interesting strategy in upon itself. But, you know, you talk about, you know, Caitlin going to WNBA. I've said this before on your show. I don't think there's ever been a bigger target in the history of the WNBA than Caitlin Clark's going to have on her back.
Right.
Because she's the one that's bringing in the ratings. She's the one who's helped elevate this game. I mean, you talk about, you know, 4.9 million people tuned into Iowa, West Virginia, the second round matchup for the women's team. I believe it's the highest rated women's sporting event outside of a Final Four basketball wise. So, I mean, just incredible numbers. And I think that this weekend is going to be the most watched Sweet 16 if Iowa makes it Elite Eight, probably in the history of women's basketball as well. So, and you talk about Caitlin going to the WNBA. It's very kind of reminds me of LeBron when he went to the NBA in terms of the target. Because remember, LeBron tattooed the Chosen One on his back. He was all over the place. He was, and this is before social media really popped off. So you can imagine what LeBron would be in the modern age of Twitter if he was just getting into the NBA, right? But I think Caitlin's trying not to bring too much attention upon herself from that standpoint. But when you talk, the you know, Big Three stolen her $5 million, that target's only going to get bigger. And there's a lot of women who feel like that they deserve their flowers for how what they've done for women's basketball and the type of game that they have. So I'll be shocked if she takes it. I think she's going to be fully focused on what Iowa's doing now. And then right when she gets the WNBA, she's focused on the Indiana Fever. If, of course, the Indiana Fever are drafting her number one.
Right, because they're still kicking the tires. They're, you know, they're doing their due diligence.
Yeah. We really believe that one. Absolutely. How about the matchup against Colorado? I know everybody's looking forward to what we'd get Monday night, a potential LSU-Iowa rematch, but getting there, Eicholt, I think this game is going to be nip-tucked down to the wire. I think Colorado is a live dog here. Your thoughts on the matchup against a team that gave them trouble a year ago in the Sweet 16?
You'll be shocked to know that I have a strong opinion about this, friend. I know I'm not one for big, you know, vilified opinions, but I was sitting next to you know, a couple of my media colleagues courtside for the West Virginia game, and with 5 minutes to go when it was tied, I just looked over and I said, two things are going to happen. One, Iowa's either losing now or they're going to roll all the way to the Elite Eight. This just reminds me so much of last season. You remember the Georgia game in the round of 32? That was the hardest game Iowa had until they got to the Final Four. I mean, they rolled through Colorado in the Sweet 16 last year, and they rolled through Louisville in the Elite Eight. Now, I'm not saying Iowa's going to roll through the Elite Eight, but there's so many similarities throughout the course of this season. And Colorado, me and Colorado in the Sweet 16 just sort of amplifies that. But I mean, this is a team that looked like they're going to be a 1 or 2 seed for the majority of the season. A couple injuries took place. They went through a 4-game losing skid, but listen to these teams that they lost to. Oregon State, top 20 team. Utah, top 25 team. USC, a number 1 seed. And UCLA, a number 2 seed. It's not like they're losing against scrub teams, but Colorado has a scout on Iowa. They've played Caitlin Clark before, but I think Caitlin's going to come out on fire. I don't anticipate Iowa women shooting poorly from three-point range again. I just think that they've been so consistent this year. Caitlin Clark was the only one that made a three-pointer in that win against West Virginia. I think Gabby Marshall's going to come out red hot. I think Kate Martin's going to play well. Hannah Stolke's the one I'm really keeping a close eye on. But for Caitlin, I'll be surprised if she has not dropped at least 40. I think Iowa wins by double digits.
Is Albany sold out?
I believe so. I have not checked, but I will be very, very surprised.
I would too. Anything else basketball? Well, you know what? Let's Patrick McCaffrey, real quick here. Trent and I kind of chalked this one up was this Patrick just being Patrick, right? Just going to leave this little nugget here. I'm not sure he means anything to it. Maybe he did. I didn't take it that way. I was surprised it was part of his statement, you know, alerting Hawkeye Nation that his Iowa career was over, and then to kind of leave this little turd at the bottom of it that he appreciates his teammates, well most of them. What did you make of that?
I don't think it's too hard to read the writing on the wall there. I think there are certain players who ended up leaving the program and bounced around quite a bit. You know, maybe a couple of
So you think there was something to this?
Uncle Joe's nephew?
I'm not getting names, specific names. I don't think it's too hard to read the tea leaves. But, you know, it is interesting, and Patrick's always been an outspoken sort of kid, and I think he's got a little bit more of an edge to him, especially since, obviously, his dad is the head coach. But, you know, it is interesting, and we'll see if more help's on the way for Iowa, basketball.
Whew. I love some of the parts of the roster, some of the names that are there, but they're going to need some help. They're not going to make it 40 minutes, all of them.
There's a ton of scuttlebutt out there. It's just rumblings and rumors about Creighton sniffing around Josh Dix, obviously a Council Bluffs kid, across the river to the wrong side to Omaha. Any smoke, at least at minimum, that you're hearing on that front?
It's something that's come across my desk and phone a couple of times. I don't know what to make of it. I'm not going to accuse Josh, obviously, of like colluding or going behind the scenes. I that's out of my element, and I have no confirmation on that, and I'd be surprised by that. But, you know, I have heard rumblings that could be the case. But let's just be quite honest, guys. Tampering's completely legal.
Sure.
Nowadays.
Yep.
With college basketball. I mean, I don't think it's any surprise, obviously, with Tony Perkins leaving the program. I mean, how many weeks have we kind of thought that Tony Perkins was not going to be an Iowa Hawkeye next year?
Yep.
It's been at least a month and a half from my standpoint. Tony was very outspoken before the season that he was planning on this being his last year. Now, maybe Tony goes overseas, and based on Fran McCaffrey's statement, he said he'd like to pursue a career overseas. So, I will be interested to see, you know, if Big Ten teams end up sniffing around, if Tony Perkins has to make a return to Carver Hawkeye next year. With the way Fran McCaffrey's statement read, I'm not going to say there's going to be a lot of animosity, but I do have confirmation that Indiana is talking to Tony Perkins about potentially becoming a Hoosier.
That certainly would make some sense. Well, football, Trent, you good to go? Let's do it. Your takeaway, maybe one or two from the press conference yesterday, and we'll get a little bit more in depth after that. What were your takeaway listening to Kirk Ferentz yesterday?
Number one, it sounds like Tim Lester has full control of the offense. I was very surprised how candid Kirk was about it. He just said, you know, I'm letting him continue to install these RPO packages. Cade McNamara is very limited right now. He's still throwing the ball, but it's more standing throwing. He's not running around. He's not doing wheel outs. But the offense is being installed, and behind the scenes, I know there's a lot of excitement about it. And number two, I was not sad to see Caden Proctor go. I'll be completely honest with you. I mean, it just sounded like they were happy he didn't take away reps from other players in spring football. But I'm actually about to publish a story here probably in the next hour and a half, about an in-depth look behind the scenes about why Caden Proctor ended up leaving Iowa. So I'd stay tuned to that, HawkeyeInsider.com. But, you know, I really don't think I don't think Iowa is that upset that Caden Proctor is going back to Alabama.
And we're sure he is going back to Alabama?
Well, that's the rumbling. That's obviously the favorite right now, but in the transfer portal era and throughout the Caden Proctor saga, I'm not chalking up anything until I see an official announcement from the team, whether it be late spring or in the summer. It's too much chaos. Nothing's a done deal anymore. Right when that portal opens, if people can contact Proctor, let's be honest, his phone is going to be absolutely blowing up by everybody except Iowa.
What about Iowa State?
I think they'd reach out to him.
Do you think there's anything that's happened already there between those two?
Maybe behind the scenes, but I can't confirm that. But I'd be very surprised if Iowa State wasn't trying to get Caden Proctor. But at this point, based on what I know, I'd be pretty surprised if he did not go back to Alabama.
Gotcha.
Because that's exactly where his family wants him to go to.
We know the Iowa defense has a chance to be outstanding again this season. All the returning guys coming back for that bonus year and just what they've been able to build. I do have a few concerns, though, looking at that defensive line, just in terms of depth. The starters look like you're in really good shape there, but and we saw Brian Allen. He looked great last spring, looked great in August camp in the Open Kids Day, and didn't see him out there on the field. After Pittman, that defensive tackle position, the backups, it is a whole bunch of question marks there. What about the depth on that defensive line? And something that Iowa, they've become so good, and a big reason for that is the depth that they've had along the D-line.
Yeah, Brian Allen also looked really good in that Holy Cross uniform. Remember, his sister played for Holy Cross when they came up to Iowa City for the 1-16 match.
I forgot about that. That's right.
I think that's one of my few concerns I have about the defense. I'm very confident in this defense. I'm not going to expect to do what they did last season because, quite frankly, it was pretty unbelievable what they did last season, and I don't want to take Phil Parker for granted what he's done. I'm very excited about Aaron Graves. I think Aaron Graves is going to have a massive season. I think he's going to be on NFL draft radars. Jeremiah Pittman, I do think Brian Allen's going to play a part on this defensive line. And the things that I look for is how often and how early does Kirk kind of plant these nuggets with certain players, right? How often does he mention them in the press conference despite the player not getting reps? He drops those little nuggets in there to say, hey, keep an eye on him because in the future he's going to be really good. Think about what he did with Jay Higgins, and obviously we saw what Jay Higgins has turned into. Think about yesterday, Jane Harrell. He name-dropped him a couple of times and said, keep an eye on him. So I think that's worth noting as well. So Brian Allen's going to be a guy. I think Max Llewellyn at edge is going to be really, really good. And obviously they get Ethan Herkett back. I mean, I understand the concern specifically at defensive tackle, but getting Y.A. Black is huge. And I think Logan Lee is going to prove to be a very, very big loss just from a leadership standpoint, from a absorbing double team standpoint. But if there is one position I am slightly concerned about, it probably is that. But, you know, also at the corner, they still got to replace Cooper DeJean. They still have to replace Cooper DeJean.
Yeah.
But I'm fairly confident in what the defensive line is going to build. I think that they can at least play 7, if not 8 guys.
What kind of years is Entringer going to have? I mean, we saw the hustle, right? The hustle play, not giving up. What do they expect from him this year?
He said Herkett. Sorry, you cut out.
No, Entringer.
Entringer, yeah, well, that's going to be interesting because I need to see how far along he has recovered. I mean, he suffered a torn ACL in the bowl game. So he's actually going to be out for the remainder of the spring. I think he's going to be pretty good by summer. But, I mean, this is going to be an injury that probably stunts his growth a little bit.
Probably so.
But, you know, and like you said, that's the guy with a lot of hustle. There's a lot of upside with him. He was actually my favorite under-the-radar commit in his recruiting class. But if he comes back 100%, I think he's in line to start next year. And I think he's going to be a really, really good player.
All right, as we look forward, the portal will open up once again. You do a lot of, obviously, recruiting work over there at 24/7 with Hawkeye Insider. Are they looking at a backup quarterback? What else do you anticipate, not knowing obviously who's going to depart in scholarship situations, what areas are they going to be looking at in the next portal window?
Yeah, I mean, you have to get a backup quarterback, right? But again, it's also like, okay, what's the sell to Iowa being a backup quarterback? I mean, the way they're going to phrase it is you can at least compete for the starting job. And, you know, Cade McNamara is still not going to be healthy until June or July. So I think personally it's irresponsible to promise him the starting job. I don't care how much NIL money he's getting because you cannot have a repeat of what happened last year. So I think backup quarterbacks could be a high priority. Another position that I still think they need one more wide receiver, if not two wide receivers.
Yep.
I know there's a lot of excitement about Dayton Howard. There's a lot of excitement about Jarriott Bowie. Obviously, Caleb Brown, I think, is a perfect fit for the Tim Lester offense. I think there's a lot of different things that they can they can use with him. But those would probably be the top positions. And, you know, if a really good cornerback enters, why don't you throw him a nice chunk of change to replace Cooper DeJean? I know Iowa likes Deshaun Lee. I know they like T.J. Hall. I know there's a couple other pieces there. But you upgrade the room if it makes sense and they can fit in with the Iowa culture. And I think those are a couple of the big areas. But other than that, I mean, tight ends, I think Iowa feels really good about with Asim Estrangha, Luke Lachey obviously returning. Offensive tackle, I just don't know how much money Iowa is going to willingly throw for an offensive lineman. I think personally they should. But I also think Jennings Dunker has a high ceiling. I think he can piece things together, put together a good season. And if Mason Richmond can stay healthy, I think that's the big thing with him. I know he had an up and down year, but he was really nicked up for the majority of the season. So maybe offensive tackle, but I look at backup quarterback and wide receiver for sure, and potentially cornerback. But of course, as Trent said, the scholarship situation still needs to work itself out a little bit.
Do we know how to pronounce the punter's last name yet? Is it Dokken?
I think it's Dokken. Yes, Rhys Dokken.
Well, Farron brought him up, right? He just said he's got to replace the punter, which I'm sure got a lot of laughs. Good for him. David Eichel. David, thanks for being so generous with your time. What time's that piece going to drop, kind of a behind the scenes on Caden Proctor at Iowa? What time will you drop that?
I believe probably about 1 to 1:30, but it will be this early afternoon window.
Good stuff. We'll be looking for it. Thank you, David. Appreciate you coming on.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate you. Have a good weekend.
Yeah, HawkeyeInsider.com. David Eicholt, he joins us. Looking forward to that.
Yes, absolutely.
A little behind the scenes. Maybe we can glean a nugget or two from it. We'll take a time out, come back, finish up hour number one. Hour two, Bill Seals, CycloneReport.com. David Kaplan, Chicago Sports with Cappy. Trent's Plays of the Day. Circus sponsor those. It's Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Hi, Miller and Condon. Welcome back. Final minute here. Hour number one. Hour two, we'll start it off with our friend Bill Seals covers Iowa State. CycloneReport.com for Bill. CycloneReport.com for Bill. Previewing Illinois and Iowa State. Looking back on the Iowa State women as their season, we know, came to an end last week, or earlier in the week, rather. And then David Kaplan at the bottom of the hour on Chicago Sports. A little baseball preview with Capper, see what he's doing as far as the win totals on both the team. You think he'll go over on the Cubs? Just a guess.
Yes, absolutely.
Just a guess.
We can lock that one in, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
Hey, I got to pass the story along to you. Did you see the big sportsbook operators are coming together to tackling problem gambling, is what they're calling it?
No, I didn't see it.
It's FanDuel, DraftKings, BetMGM, Penn Gaming, which is now ESPN mm-hmm. Bet. Fanatics, Hard Rock, and Bet365 are coming together. The concern for gamblers. Okay, you want to find problem gambling? That's great.
Yep.
On the surface.
But there's more than there's.
Many times, though, problem gambling, the way they think of it.
As winners.
Absolutely.
That's their problem.
We've talked about consolidation is bad for us as sports gamblers.
Mm-hmm.
I read the story with a different eye. Just something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, they look at problem gamblers differently.
Uh-huh. They call them, well, we call them winning gamblers.
Yeah. They don't like winning gamblers a lot.
That's a problem in their world.
You will not get limited with our friends at Circa.
Nope.
Circa Sports sponsors Trent's Plays today. They're coming up hour two next. Miller and Condon, 106.3 KXNO.